episode of Turn 4, we're back with the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3.
And thanks for tuning in.
Yo, y'all know what time it is, the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 back in the building here in Manhattan, Kansas, recording on February 18th, 2021. Y'all know what it is, the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast, all about the latest in the world of motorsports, NASCAR, Cape World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, NASCAR Cup Series, the 3 biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And here on this edition, we're going to talk obviously all about the oval, traditional oval, the Daytona 500 weekend, and of course get y'all ready for some road course racing on the back end of this podcast, obviously. And again, before we dive straight on in, no messing around here, the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast, you can find it wherever you listen to your podcast, whether that's from Apple, Spotify, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and more, including Amazon Music. The 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast is on that as well. Tell your friends about it as the 2021 NASCAR season is underway. And folks, I mean, first off here, it has been cold as you know what around these parts in the Midwest, as of course we need to be thinking about a lot of the Midwest folk right now, including Texas, getting hit with this severe Arctic cold, which is actually this podcast tonight warmed up a little bit actually. So you would think that you would ask me a few years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, that 20 degrees isn't warm. I would told you, you'd be kidding me. That's cold as ice. but we, over the weekend, experienced negative temperatures, including my 5K run over in Kansas City. And look, let me tell you something. I have never ran in a race that cold. That race right there just puts it over the top. That's the coldest race, 5, 10K, half marathon, even a marathon that I've ever ran in. And that's probably going to be the coldest race that I've ever raced in. Of course, we all finish in. One of my friends was supposed to do the 10K. Couldn't do it, obviously. A lot of the 10Kers bailed out of it as well, but she did it smartly enough. I'm thankful for all of us to finish. Obviously, that's the main thing. So that's been kind of the last, about 8-9 days up here in Manhattan, Kansas. Not only here, Oklahoma's been dealing with it. I'm sure up north's been dealing with it as well. So that's been kind of the story here. And obviously the power outages as well going around. There's been some hits and misses around here. Texas has been getting most hit. Who would have thought about that? But in all seriousness, though, we need to be thinking about everybody who's been affected by these temperatures and the power outages over the last several days as well. So you need to be keeping them in your thoughts and prayers as well. So just want to bring that to the attention. Now, of course, Speed Week, or you would call it Speed Weeks, whatever. Speed Week is action packed, folks. Yes, indeed. And this is one of 3 races in the state of Florida, folks. Yes, in the state of Florida. Obviously, we're going back there for the road course that we saw in the Clash and we saw last year debut finally. And they made a tweak actually a couple hours ago. They made a tweak to one of the chicanes, I believe was either turn 10, 11, 12, one of those two turns. So that could play a factor in the weekend. I mean, we'll have to see what happens there as we are about to enter into the second weekend of racing in the NASCAR's 3 Top Series. But folks, all across the board, racing, I mean, let's just start with 500, okay? And what we saw there. I mean, obviously another rainout, and what flooded my timelines again was start times, obviously. And I talked about that a little bit in one of the episodes last year about that, about the times, and Traditionally, back in the heyday of NASCAR, you would see, you know, Daytona 500 start at noon, 1 o'clock Eastern time. And now, you know, it's all about, and now we're living in a different type of NASCAR, what the audience is, right? We're talking about them wanting the most views that they can get, right? But apparently, when the numbers came out, Jeff Gluck tweeted out that the ratings for this race were awful. Now, you know, the start of the race, obviously, they were up at normal. The ratings were normal, as usually. So, I mean, and you had this rain out, and this has been the common theme, really, over the last, what, 4 or 5 years. I mean, you'd be lucky to get this race in, and you know that Daytona, and me living a former resident in Florida, especially Daytona Beach, I lived in that area for 6-7 years, and knowing that weather, you get your traditional rain, thunderstorms, or rainstorms, whatnot, and you would think NASCAR would learn their lesson, and I'm sorry, I'm all about the noon and 1 o'clock now. It's an hour earlier here, Central Time, where I'm at now, obviously, here in Manhattan, Kansas, so it would be, what, 11, 12 o'clock start, but still, though, that race, I mean, yes, you mean NASCAR would have still would have put all their effort in to get the race in, but you would have been probably halfway, at least, at that point in time. Instead, once again, and I said this before on the podcast, way back, maybe the year before last year, I think it was the Chicagoland race, the playoff race, 2 years ago, where rain was in the area, and we started the race anyway. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. When you know you have rain, weather in the area, I would have not have started that race. And I was pretty hot about that, and I'm hot about it now. I mean, why would you start it when the weather is in the area? And I just don't get what NASCAR is thinking in terms. I get it that we're in a different time now, and we want all the attention on a sport. But yes, you're not at football. Is out of the way now. I mean, NASCAR should be able to stand out, right? And you should be able, even if you take away the 3 o'clock start, take away the three o'clock start, right? You have basically attention to yourself, because NBA, they play most of their games late afternoon, well, early afternoon, and sometimes in prime time as well. They got that prime time matchup on Saturday, so and then hockey's doing their own thing. We have basketball, the college basketball, that's on Saturday. So NASCAR, you shouldn't be, I mean, they have to stand to themselves in this case here. And I'm all about, I'm old school. I'd rather have that, especially in this type of races. But Indianapolis last year, they started the race, I believe, and they had to hold it off. They got it started, and all of a sudden they had to red flag it due to weather in the area. They did not start it. Check that. That's my bad. They did not start the race. So it was supposed to start, what, at like 2 o'clock Central Time, and weather came with thunder and lightning and whatnot, and they had to pull it back a little bit. So, I mean, that you can't do anything about. That we were begging about early start times then. So, I mean, it's a catch 2020 with this thing. I mean, everybody was hollering about it on my Twitter feed. All I saw was, hey, we want noon time starts. And again, I have to agree, once again, bring up this hot topic about noon and 1 o'clock time. Now, it's different that if rain is in the area then okay, I definitely 100% agree. Understand. You know, you have to wait it out. I definitely get that. But if you have a window, especially weather in the area, like, again, going back to the heyday of NASCAR, they would push the start time, the green flag, up a little bit. You know, this is what a lot of people are forgetting now. I mean, this is what NASCAR used to do, right? When they had weather in the area, they would push up the start time a little bit and try to get to halfway. That's what all the intensity of the race starts, right? That's what some people are forgetting about that now. Apparently I don't know what I'm talking about, because NASCAR, they continue to miss on some of these big time races, start times and whatnot, and majority of the people on my feed want the noon start time. I mean, West Coast is sorry. I mean, yes, it's two, three hours back. But hey, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta get up early, watch the race. I mean, you a hardcore fan, you gotta do what you have to do. But yeah, NASCAR missed the boat on this one, and apparently after the first 14 laps when the big one happened, everybody just tuned out. pretty much then, and then you get single file racing on top of that. I definitely see that. Now, so everything kind of just settled down. After that, that's kind of the turning point of the race last weekend, the Daytona 500. And the intensity, it was definitely there. And I felt it. I knew something big was going to happen. I knew something bad was going to happen when the thing got restarted. Obviously, Derek Cope had some tire issues to bring out the first caution. Then you restart the race, and then everybody's on pins and needles. And then, bam, you have the big one very early in this race. I hate that. I hated it. And yes, or the rookie, we shouldn't call him rookie anymore. C-Bell, now veteran in the Cup Series. Now take the rookie stripe off. But he made a slight mistake. And like I've always said, the smallest of mistakes by somebody is going to trigger this thing. And it did very early. And somebody tweeted out, you know, obviously this race is on Valentine's Day. So apparently somebody was out to break somebody's lot of hearts, and that did happen on lap 14. A lot of heavy hitters up in the mix there. Blaney was in it. A lot of people thought Blaney be right there in the mix for the Daytona 500 win. Obviously, with his history on the Super Speedway tracks, that did not happen. That put away early. Eric Almirola thought he had a shot to win the 500. There, C-Bell had no damage, I believe, in that. If I recall, there Di Benedetto had issues. Obviously, my guy had issues finding the wreck again after moving himself right through the field. So I thought he should have stayed back, but it is what it is. Now we're on to the real course here. I'm very excited about the possibility this weekend. But yeah, and a few others. Kurt Busch got involved in that. So yeah, you're talking about lap 14 of this race, and you have a lot of torn up cars going back to North Carolina. And some people were frustrated about that. Now that's all going back to the center point of what I'm talking about in starting a race when you have weather just minutes away, maybe less than 5 minutes away. And you have drivers up right on the wheel trying to get where all they can get, and bam, somebody makes a mistake and that's it. So very disappointed that, well, from a fan aspect anyways, that Martin was out of it. Well, he wasn't out of it actually. He stayed out there for points. Now again, that's very valuable now as we get going in the 21 season now. So he stayed out there, but yeah, that was some long ass laps. So I have to ride it out a little bit. Even then, he mixed it up a little bit with the lead cars, and he was fast again. So it's a matter of what if you stay out of that mess there. You have a chance there, but hey, it is what it is now. You got to put a track, move forward there on that instance there. So again, with the whole weather thing here, I mean, NASCAR, they won all the ratings, and they basically struck out then the first week of the NASCAR season.
You're listening to the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3.
Last single car file racing after the red flag was lifted. This is the 3 Wide NASCAR Podcast. Eddie Greer here in the MHK Manhattan, Kansas. Breaking down the first Daytona weekend here of the year. Obviously, all three series will be back in action on the road course in Daytona here coming up this weekend. But hey, you know, back to the single file racing. I mean, again, Dale Jr. started that when he was racing on that's why he made him so good. You know, everybody followed him. And that's where we're starting. That's what we saw again. Now, this was a total opposite of what we saw. Now, when we come back here for the season finale, not back here, but back down in Daytona for the regular season finale, I think all bets are off the window there. Depending on the drivers and I'm gonna get to the winner here momentarily, because that is gonna change that pretty much changed the ball game right off the bat already. The winner of this race, who finished 25th last year, won this race, and now already some of those guys that are around that bubble usually, and we won't know that until we get into this six, seven races in. Who's going to be battling for those last spots already? You're already playing behind eight ball already, so there's that as well. So, but yeah, back to Dale Jr. and Denny Hamlin there. Jr. used to do that all the time. Just ride the high side, log laps, and we saw it there. Denny Hamlin led basically half the race last Sunday night down in Daytona there, and he's bid for three straight Daytona 500s. Came to an end there on the last lap there. Yeah, even though he finished third there, he was ousted by race winner Michael McDowell with the big. And I agree with Jordan Bianchi. I mean, I tweeted it. Even though I did tweet it, it was upset city. But yeah, in hindsight of that, that's not really an upset. I mean, McDowell finished fourth last year in the 500. And this guy, very quiet, very good. And obviously, when you have, obviously, Dave Reagan was part of that big wreck in the very early portions of this race. But when you have that, and you're trying to work in Anthony Alfredo as well, I mean, that could be a very interesting combo. Now, Michael McDowell, obviously, he was very, very, I mean, yes, we've had him. And, oh, by the way, former Three Wide alum on this podcast. We had him a few years ago on this podcast. Very, very nice guy. Nice dude. Very nice dude. And now I can stop talking about the Texas triple somersault that he did. A vicious hit at Texas Motor Speedway years ago with Michael Walter Race. We can put that to bed and talk about the Daytona 2021 Daytona 500 champion, Michael McDowell. Yes, Michael McDowell there. And you don't have to leave all those laps. You just got to leave the last one. Not even at that. He did the last half a lap to win. Maybe not even that. Maybe a quarter of a lap to win the race. There, you put yourself in a position like he did. And you rarely hear about him on the speedway tracks. Why? Because he puts himself in that position and he stays pretty low-key, quiet, and he just gets it done. What a winner front row more. And that's the third, I believe, from my count, I believe that is the second, no, that's the third win for that organization's history. There, obviously, you got to go back to David Reagan delivering the first ever win at Talladega a couple years ago. Then Chris Buescher did it at Pocono, the fog out in Pocono a couple years ago. Now, a couple years later, Michael McDowell, who's been obviously very, very loyal to that team, a very consistent guy, and now he's right there in victory lane. Pretty much, I mean, if anything, if we get a whole 16 winners, which history says no, we're not going to get 16 winners this year, that he's a safe bet. Lock now to be in the playoffs. He puts front row back in front rows in the playoffs a few years ago. So with Chris Buescher, so McDowell, and you're coming back to a place where Mike McDowell on the road course is pretty damn good. Also, his road courses now, and he has a chance now. They can play around a little bit here and maybe get another stage point, get some stage points and whatnot. And hey, it's all about don't hit the game, hit the player. And right now, Michael McDowell, he is starting. We're going to go through that starting lineup on the back end of this podcast tonight in round two of this Florida True Threat that I called it in the offseason, Daytona 500, Daytona Road Course, and then you got Miami Homestead Speedway next week. So McDowell, very good on the road courses. And I would not put it past him. I mean, If we were going to somewhere else, you're not going to hear him because usually the 500 champion usually has trouble. And I don't want to jinx it. I'm not trying to jinx him or anything. But hey, we're going on road course, and he's a very good road course racer, and he's going to be starting up right up with the guy that's owned road courses, Chase Elliott, over the last two seasons. So he's got a shot. Drew Bricklin-Stiffer and those guys, they're going to that team right now is on high heaven right now, and what they should be, because this is playing right to McDowell's wheelhouse here. I would not be surprised to see him in the top eight, maybe even the top five, when the race comes around. So definitely all the momentum on that 34 Lowe's Ford. And you remember it, Ford for McDowell, remember last year, Logan McDowell had a disagreement there. McDowell, hey, you don't want to sleep on him now. He don't give a damn, because he was going for the win as well. It was last year, or maybe the year before for that, whatever. But one of those races, though, McDowell, this will ignore orders or whatnot, and made Joey Logano mad. And McDowell, he don't give two craps about anything. He's racing for his team, and what a good dude. And that was his first cup win in some 390-plus starts there. So dreams coming true for first-time winners at Daytona. That theme continues. We saw William Byron get his first win at Daytona a few last fall to seal his ticket to the playoffs. And now McDowell has basically done the same thing early in the year and put some of these teams who could be fighting for that bubble spot on notice early on in 2021. Eddie Greer for the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, recapping the Daytona 500 on this edition of the podcast tonight. But yeah, absolutely. So, and speaking of Logano, well, Joey Logano was leading towards during the last lap of the race there. All the Penske cars wrecked out of this race. And Austin Cindric said it was a quiet plane ride home. And I can see that, given the circumstances here with teammates waiting until the final quarter. I don't understand it. Chevy had an opportunity to do something. I mean, it's in your hands. I mean, literally, it's in your hands to make something happen. You just stand there and wait. That's the other issue that I want to bring up is waiting to the last minute. And usually, this goes for probably anything like projects or whatever. You look to last minute, crazy things happen. You're not going to get it done. And that's a perfect example, switching it back to the race we saw in the 500 last weekend. I mean, people waiting to the last minute to do something, and then all hell breaks loose after that. And Keselowski, 0 for 11 in 500 tries, now making 0 for 12 in that department. Logano already had a 500 in his belt, was going for a second right there, and he gets taken out there and took away all chances pretty much of winning that race there for himself there. And Penske had a chance there to go 1-2 there. And yes, I know, Eddie, your team orders went up, but hey, you look at it fine side now. You stay 1-2. I mean, we've seen teammates finish 1-2 in the 500. I mean, it's proof is in the pudding. Went back in the '01 when unfortunately Dale Senior passed on the final lap there. Unfortunately, that was obviously this was a 20-year what's the right word? But I'll just go with it. The anniversary of Dale Senior's passing Daytona, which everybody held at 3, which was chilling, as it was always chilling to see that fans. It's awesome tribute there. But yeah, it's that then Ryan Newman, Kurt Busch, Penske did it in the same race a few years ago. Now I don't know when Ryan Newman won that race. Now Penske did go 1-2 in that race. We saw that. Joe Gibbs Racing, the close finish with Truex and Hamlin. Yeah, even though they were side by side, they're still 1-2. Then we saw that. So Roger Penske, those boys had a chance. Now, they had a chance to settle it for themselves. It was definitely settled all right, and neither of them didn't win it. Michael McDowell won it. A fellow Ford driver, obviously, but for a different team. You gotta wonder, what if Keselowski was definitely defeated, and sounded defeated after the fact of that race as well. Very dejected after that race over Logano. You know, hey, we're going for 500. It is what it is now. So deep hole in that for those guys. Austin Center was riding up front. Austin Center had a tremendous weekend. If you missed out on the Xfinity Series race, answer the bell, already defending champ in the Xfinity Series, winning that race there, getting the job done there. But he was disappointed as well with that finish as well. And teammates, again, we saw it last year in the Xfinity Series with Chastain and Allmendinger there taking each other out. And but that outcome was different, right? Justin Haley was right there in the thick of it to take the win there for colleague. Here, Penske, they didn't win it. Another team won it. So that's got to be a blow to your organization there. When you know for the last, 6, 7 years, Ford has been the master since at the Speedway tracks there, leading up front. But Denny Hamlin was on a mission last weekend to get it done. And unfortunately for him, the pit cycle, the final cycle of the night, cost him. I mean, and obviously Toyota low on numbers still, even with the switch of new teams of Bubba Wallace 2311 Racing in for Levine Family Racing now. So there you got that. So you're still dealing with the same numbers. I mean, we shouldn't be all surprised with that. I mean, everybody acting like of course. You mean, that's why, I mean, obviously, there's already rumors about 2311 Racing trying to get a second team there. And that, yes, that would be huge, right? But we're already one race into this season. And that's what you're dealing with. And I thought the Toyotas worked very well, even without Truex in there in the race last weekend. Christopher Bell was up front for majority race. I thought the Toyota, this was the best teamwork that I saw Toyota did since the 500 a few years ago with the close finish of Hamlin and Truex. That's the best they've worked together with. They are obviously, when it comes to Speedway Racing, it's Denny Hamlin now. But we saw Kyle Busch up there, Hamlin, C. Bell leading that train all the way around that 2.5 mile an hour racetrack as well. So that's the best. We've seen it in Bubba Wallace. We saw him fast all weekend. I thought he was going to get the Clash win there. Could not hold off Austin Dillon there towards the end of that Clash number two there. And Almirola, by the way, won the first duel of the night last Thursday, won those duels as well. And Almirola was confident. He had a fast race car. Well, he was taken out very early in this race as well. Austin Dillon making his name known as one of those guys you got to look out for in Speedway game as well. So a lot of could have, should've, would've here in this case here. I mean, if the Toyotas pit with those guys, I mean, with smaller numbers like that for the last couple years, you have to, I would probably have called those boys in when Ford, all those Fords pitted. I mean, you give yourself a better shot there. I mean, instead, I mean, you get spread out, all these pit stops, you get spread out a little bit, and then bam, you get railroaded by those, and then you're all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball there, and you're trying to work yourself up to the front. We did see Hamlin try to make moves on his own, which he did, but had no help to as well. So hey man, it's again with this thing, you have to everything from strategy to racing to drafting, everything has to be smart for everything has to work out well to your advantage. And Michael McDowell, we really didn't really heard of him throughout this race until late in this race, and all of a sudden that he was up there. He was up there all night. Now don't get it twisted now. He was up there all night long, riding in the top 10. After that race restarted, he was right up there in the mix there. So you have to give Drew Blickensturfer, and of course, I gotta bring up old spotter Mark Trish
Junior Clayton Hughes, I mean, he called that race back when Martin lost it by mere inches there. He gets redemption for that as well. So he gets his 500 win there with McDowell there, and he beat Chase Elliott. He was in front of Chase Elliott when the caution comes out. And I said, Denny Hamlin finished third. He did not. He finished fifth. That was Austin Dillon in the mix. So Austin Dillon, again, was right there for opportunity to get his second win, or obviously he came up short in that as well. We're going to take a look at the finishing order when we come back for intermission and give you what took place in the trucks in Xfinity. Already talked about what happened there slightly. Austin Cindric getting the job done after nightmares at Daytona. He gets it done there. And also the truck series saw a last lap fifth pass for the win as well. We'll get to that and much more coming up on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. We'll be right back.
The 3-Wide Podcast with EG3 will be right back after this intermission break from Manhattan, Kansas.
This Sunday's race, road course race in Daytona Beach, Florida, with Chase Elliott leading the field green, McDowell second, Austin Dillon third, Kevin Harvick finished fourth, Denny Hamlin with 98 laps. Only the fifth, this bid doing three in a row, comes up short. How about this guy? Ryan Preece finished third in the 500, I believe the year before last, I want to say last year too, but Ryan Preece. This is a critical year for him in that race team. He finished sixth. Ross Chastain finished seventh in his debut in the Cup Series with Ganassi after all those years. And with bad teams, now he's with a good equipment, and he did a great job. More on him at the end of the show. Jimmy McMurray, Jamie Mack, eighth. For him, in his lone appearance there, obviously former Daytona 500 champion, Corey LaJoie for the second year in a row, finishing the top 10 to 500 with his new team for Spire Motorsports, and Kyle Larson also finished in the top 10 for his first race with his new team. So that five, Kyle Larson was pretty quiet all race long. You did not hear of him much And we're going to be hearing more of him here as we get into season with some of these tracks. Obviously, the Bristol Dirt comes to mind. Homestead next week. So, Larson, we're going to be hearing more of him here as he gets back in the groove. Top 10 fish for that 5 car. Cole Custer, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Austin Cindric. Fishing positions 11th and 5th through 15th there. Obviously, Austin Cindric, very disappointed there. Logano led 26 laps there in the 500. Position 16th through 20 features Christopher Bell, who also, well, I know he led 32 laps in this race. Bubba Wallace finished 17th. He was that guy. He had a rocket ship all weekend and went, got chopped a lap down, had to come back in due to a loose wheel. That pretty much ended his bid to be that guy to get that first win in the Cup Series. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Chase Briscoe, Joey Gase finished 20th there. Other notable finishes here, Kurt Busch 22nd, Mark Trish Jr. 25th, William Byron 26th, Tyler Reddick finished 27th there, Ryan Blaney 30th down here, Matty D finished 33rd, Eric Almirola 34th, Alex Bowman 35th, Track House Racing debut, Daniel Suarez, and I'm excited for Pitbull being in the sport. You know, we're all talking about Michael Jordan and why not, but let's not forget about this cat, Pitbull, doing big things. Very excited for him and Justin Marks and the new Track House team. I wound up with this team for the road course race on one of the fantasy sheets this weekend. So the 99 finished 36th, though, however, in a 500. David Reagan, 37th. Newman finished 38th. He was part of that early accident. And Derek Cope finished last. And Eric Jones finished 39th in this race there. That's kind of a look around at the Daytona 500. Next race for the Cup Series coming up. Obviously, this weekend, 2 o'clock Central Time, the O'Reilly Auto Parts 253 at Daytona. Daytona Road Course back in action again on Fox with Mike, Jeff, and Clint. MRN will have coverage of the race as well. So, hey, I'm definitely looking forward to the road course. As you guys probably know, long-time listeners of this podcast know already, Mark Trick Jr., Chase Elliott, another battle is going to be brewing, I'm pretty sure. But Ryan Blaney was fed plenty fast in the clash. He, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch was up there as well. And let's throw in, again, Michael McDowell in here as well. Throw him in the mix as well. Coming off that win, he's going to be chopping at the bit. I think he's going to be right up there. He stays out of trouble like he usually does from the Sunday bases. He's going to be right there in the mix there to get another solid finish and maybe possibly contend for the win. I mean, hey. Can't rule that out, right? You can't rule that out, folks. All right, so now switching gears to the Xfinity Series. More on the starting lineup for the Cup Series came out for that race here in a minute. Austin Cindric leading 28 laps in the Xfinity Series race there to win it. The defending champion won that race there, and he held off our motorsport driver, Brett Moffitt, who I believe is going full-time in the Xfinity Series with this team. Very impressive from Moffitt in the Xfinity Series. Very quietly just did his own thing, and he was right up in the mix there. And he's in front of the Burton boys, Harrison Burton and Jeb Burton, finished third and fourth respectively. A.J. Allmendinger, nice, solid top five finish for him. He finished fifth. We got to give call-outs here to some of these guys. Brandon Brown finished sixth. Mike Steiner, seventh. Brandon Gidovic, we're just going to roll with that, folks, finished 8th in this race. Jason White finished in 10th spot. And in between those cats, Daniel Hemric in the 18 for Joe Gibbs Racing full-time. This is his best chance to get a win this year if he's got a chance of any, because he has not had a win in any of the three biggest divisions at all. I was racking this guy a couple years ago. Hey, he's going to get the victory lane. Well, he hasn't done it yet, but hey, off to a good start here with his new team. He finished in a nice spot right there. So, you mean, when you look at everybody else here in the mix here, there's also a big one in this race. Also, Josh Berry did a great job for his debut, his junior motorsport debut. He's going to be running a selective race this year for that team. He was running a top five for half that race there. He wrecked out, Allgaier did it, and Junior Motorsports had a streak of some, four races, three or four straight wins in the season opener in the Daytona Xfinity race. Well, that came to a close, obviously, with all of those cars wrecking out like the Penske cars did. So, not funny if you're Dale Earnhardt Jr. having a wad of cash pretty much on one of your favorite racetracks in Daytona. So, going back on the road course for these same thing, going back to the road course with these guys, and last time we're on the road course, Austin Cindric has been the man on these road courses. He owns road courses. Now, there's no Chase Briscoe in the Xfinity Series this year, so it's going to be interesting to see who that third guy is. I'm thinking it's either one of Junior Motorsports' cats, either Justin Allgaier or Noah Gregson. So, we'll have to see what happens there. Well, obviously, Allmendinger comes to mind. A ton of laps on this road course, and those two, I mean, you can't not put them up there as favorites until somebody knocks off. Basically, Austin Cindric is on a class of his own, so it's going to be interesting to see what Allmendinger does. Allmendinger won the soggy Charlotte Roval last year in the playoffs, so, and Allmendinger is going to go for a championship this year, full-time in the series, so I'm looking for big things from Allmendinger this year. So, and I love friend, this is going to be like the Cup Series here. Like the Cup Series, which the Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr., it's going to be a 22 and a 16. And maybe you can throw in the 7 in there a little bit. So we'll see what happens with this matchup. I don't have the schedule in front of me at the moment here. While I do that, let's see. Yes. So Xfinity. Yeah, that is going to be on. Yes, so the truck race is going to be on the lights. That's going to be awesome to see that. So that race is going to be on the lights tomorrow night on FS1. Meanwhile, on FS1 on Saturday, the Superstart Batteries 188 at Daytona, presented by O'Reilly for the Xfinity Series. We'll see who can Austin Cindric continue his dominance there. Can Allmendinger send a statement, or will somebody else from the field knock them off?
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
I don't know what I just did. I don't know what I just did there. But I'm just going to roll with that. This is the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now we talked about a little bit about the Xfinity Series. Now, real quick here, we'll talk Camping World Truck Series. We saw a last lap pass and Thor Sport Racing for the second straight year wins it, having to hold off, again, a common denominator, Jordan Anderson, who last year was another story, finished third in this race last year, comes up short again. He finished right up or second and third again, I can't remember. But Jordan Anderson, you gotta start paying attention to him on his speedway track. And he almost come up with it again, but Thor Sport Racing gets it done. Ben Rhodes, who was in much of the talk last year for running with Christian Eckes, gets it done. Punches his ticket, obviously, in the playoffs in the Camping World Truck Series. He pulled off the last lap pass in the backstretch on Corey Roper, the surprise leader this race. We were kind of upset in this race. Was not to be there, but Corey Roper in that team. Good job bringing that home there. Ben Rhodes, he was led 7 laps in this race there, but more importantly, got the win. Jordan Anderson,
host for the second straight season can't get it done for that team there. But Jordan Anderson, second, Corey Roper, third, Ryan Truex. A nice top five run there, finished fourth there and in top five. Carson Holtchaver, who's going back in that 42 truck, finishing in top five right there. Defending champion in the truck series, Sheldon Creed, finished in the sixth spot. Jonathan Nemechek, seventh. Cody Robar, who was a part of that 3-wide finish a year ago, coming home in eighth spot. Cody Robar, Thomas Speedway Racer. Chandler Smith in his full-time role with Kyle Busch Motorsports, coming home in the ninth spot. Drew Dollar, we get a guest appearance in the 51 last week for Kyle Busch Motorsports. He comes in, rounds out the top 10 there in that race there. So Grant Infinger, last year's winner, he finished 11th in this race, as well as some of the other notables from the truck race last Friday night includes Matt Crafton, finished 15th. Zane Smith come home 16th in the race there. Jennifer Jo Cobb, 3-wide alum, finished 18th. Good finish for her there. Austin Hill, 22nd. There, Rafael Lassard, who last time on a speedway track in the trucks, won at Talladega, only finished 23rd in this race, but he led 2012 laps there. So there's that. Also in the back there, Tanner Gray finishes 35th, Derek Krause 33rd, Stuart Friesen 32nd, Todd Gillen 31st, Tyler Ankrum finished 28th in this race there. So obviously, man, so interesting start once again in the Caperville Truck Series for the truckers. Next race for them obviously will be tomorrow night. Brake Best Pads. Ooh, let me say that again. There's too many B's in here. The Brake Best Brake Pads. Say that four times fast. Brake Best Brake Pads 159 at the Daytona, presented by O'Reilly tomorrow night on FS1. If you can't catch the race, that's going to be on MRN as well. That's a mouthful right there. So the trucks, once again, everybody back at Daytona for round two, this time on the road course there. Can Ben Rhodes get it done once again? Oh, and last time on the road course, by the way, it was a GMS 1-2 finish of Sheldon Creed and Brett Moffitt. This time they're on both sides of that. This Moffitt with Nice Motorsports this year, and Creed looking to defend his crown from a year ago. Good start for Sheldon Creed, who finished sixth in that race, so he's going to be a threat tomorrow night as well. So looking forward to that race tomorrow night to get started with the weekend as well. Eddie Gritter III, this is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast here with EG3 here, coming down to the home stretch here of the podcast tonight. Appreciate y'all for downloading and listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Okay, so now the Cup Series side, and of course we're going to end, I'm going to try to get this all in here. Yeah, I'm going to end the episode with a little bit of different ending than I have done it in the past. So I'll end it with the EG3 stickers of the week, and there are some of them I'll pass out as well. So the starting lineup came, and before I get to that here, big news in the Xfinity Series concerning Ryan Varkas. I have to bring this up. Obviously, I'm a Falcon fan, but when it comes to the rivalry, Saints-Falcons, yeah, there's a lot of hate in that rivalry, but Saints running back star Alvin Kamara with his new juice drink, it will be an associate sponsor for the six car of Ryan Varkas on Saturday. I'm excited for that. So some of the big names we're talking about here are the African Americans coming into the sport. Obviously, Michael Jordan has been a longtime fan of NASCAR. Alvin Kamara was a new fan last year when the Confederate flag was finally banned away from NASCAR. He joined in the sport and he's doing big things now. And being an associate sponsor with one of the young guys, Ryan Varkas, that's huge. That's huge. I'm going to be keeping an eye on that on Saturday. Big for that. I'm excited for that as well. So, and then obviously Bernard Pollard as well, back in the swing of things as well. He's doing his thing with the old iRacing thing and his enthusiasm in NASCAR as well. So I gotta bring that up as well. So you're starting to see that diversity in the series is growing ever so slightly here, or I should say fastly, but looking for the right words to say anything. But the main thing is diversity, it is coming in NASCAR for that. So I just wanted to bring that to the attention there as well. There are some penalty reports as well. Brad Keselowski was on that list with Bubba Wallace as well. So I don't have that information ahead of me. All I know, that's what I got from that. All right, folks. Last year, obviously, Chase Elliott won the race last year. And yeah, see that he won it last year. Denny Hamlin finished second this race. Martin Truex Jr. third. Now, this is the bat. Hey, I mean, yes, I included Denny Hamlin in that conversation a few minutes ago about wants to watch. And everybody, I'm hyped. I'm hyped once again. And I was hyped for the Clash because of the Royal Course dominance. I mean, yes, everybody's looking at that 9 car. I get it. But hey, you mean there's other players in here too, obviously, that I mentioned a few moments ago in this portion of the podcast. And my guy's going to be right there in the mix. Yeah, he's starting mid-pack. But if he has a car like that, would he have the Clash? Y'all better look out. that's all I'm going to say for that. And everybody's been on that 9 train, and why not? I mean, hey, I don't blame y'all, but y'all don't sleep. Don't sleep on a 19, and don't sleep on a 34 this weekend, as he looks for back-to-back good weekends. That in the person of Michael McDowell. Yeah, 9, 11, and 19. Jimmy Johnson last year, who was in the race last year, obviously. He finished 4th. Chris Buescher with a solid run last year. Finished 5th, and Clint Boyer, who's in the booth now, 6th. Kras Grohl, who made his first start in the Cup Series last year at that time for Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon, who had COVID. Grohl with a 7th place finish. Byron Logano, and this is what I'm talking about right here. McDowell finished 10th. So I said 8th. So I was close enough. Michael McDowell, but either way, though, he finished 10th anyway. So Michael McDowell, that 10th starting spot. Now he started what last year? He started 30th last year and slowly maneuvered his way to the front of the field. So now you have a better starting position, better views from the front. So he's going to get tested right away. So be excited to see how this team responds following a big-time victory of the Daytona 500 there. So looking forward towards that as well. And I'm definitely, everybody's hyping this up. I'm hyped. So 19 versus 9, here we go once again. And I would not be surprised. Yes, Chase Elliott in the Clash, he was struggling a little bit in that Clash. And then they finally had a handle on it in the Clash. And he was making his way toward the front. And obviously, and I have not said anything about the Clash finish yet. That battle there between best buds of Blaney and Elliott there. And I have no problem with that. That's the problem with NASCAR. Making too many friends. And I like some of the, when it comes to the 12 questions and whatnot of last year, when Jeff Gluck had one of those where it was like talking before the race with one of your friends and whatnot. And I'm a big believer of not messing around with anybody before race. You're going to be, you're trying to beat somebody's brains out. When whether it's going on running a race, a half marathon, a marathon, or basketball, whatnot, baseball, football, whatever. You're trying to beat the opponent. You're not trying to make friends with them. You're trying to beat the opponent and own them for how long? 9 innings, 4 quarters, 200 some plus laps, 500 laps, whatever. You're trying to beat these guys. So I don't like. Haven't been a fan of that, and I'm still not a fan of that whole thing. So, but yeah, get something like that in the Clash, get you in trouble, and that's exactly what happened there. Chase Elliott put the bumper to Blaney, and neither of them didn't win. This is what I talked about in the first half of the podcast. It's all coming back full circle, folks. That, you know, Keselowski teammates Logano trying to win the 500. Keselowski took it in there and took his teammate out, and on that note, took himself out as well as, again, chunk of the field on the last lap. Here, you know, Chase Elliott, you know, they thought they were going for the win. Both one of them were winning, but Kyle Busch snuck up on them and took it away from both of them. So when that scenario works out, you just burned. You're burnt to a crisp, and that's what you get. So Kyle Busch winning the clash last week. And then with his new crew chief Ben Bayshore there, so that's one of the things. That's kind of, if I had a pet peeve, that would be one of them. That's probably the top of the list. There is making friends before. I mean, you have all week to hang out with your buddies. You have all week for that. You have all week to hang out with your buddies. And when it's game showtime, you better have a game face on and not play nice, or you're just gonna get run over. And that's what we're seeing in this type of NASCAR now. I mean, everybody rips you hard. I mean, back in the old days now, everybody lets you go early on in the race. But when it's game time, be seatbelt time, everybody was muscled up. You better be ready to race. And we're seeing a different style of racing now. You got to race. You put them seatbelts on tight. You better be on your A game from the green flag on. And so, yeah, this is what you get. Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, they did not win the clash. Kyle Busch snuck right by both of them. Mirror of what Blaney did in the debut of the Roval Charlotte a few years ago. Mark Trish Jr., Jimmy Johnson there. I'm still pissed at that. I've said that several times on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3. Still bitter about that. And no, MTJ Jr. and Jimmy Johnson were not teammates. So, yeah, I mean, it comes to a price there. That, hey, I mean, it could come down to the last tiny corner there, and you have to defend everything. that's what it is there. So, very interesting situation there. And, yeah, the finish right there had eyeballs popping out. Pretty sure most everybody's head there. Way that turned out there. Elliott takes out Blaney, and Chase Elliott couldn't get himself going, and he gets blown by the 18 of Kyle Busch. All right, that's a wrap for this week, at least for part one of Daytona. We got part two of Daytona coming up. Florida Triple Threat, the road course coming up beginning tomorrow night with the trucks. Saturday with the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series to cap it all off on Sunday. And now, folks, it is time to cap off this podcast with the EG3 helmet sticker of the week. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A little bit different than what I have done. Well, in the past, did not have this in there. I usually have it for the podcast, but didn't last year. So, okay. So, looking back, some honorable mentions. Honorable mentions here this week on the podcast here. For one, we gotta give Jordan Anderson EG3 honorable mention for the week here. Jordan Anderson finds himself in his positions time and time again, and one of these times now, it's going to pay off for him in that team there. But Anderson there finds himself at the right place, right time, but couldn't get it done there on a 99 of Ben Rhodes. EG, honorable mention there of the week, Jordan Anderson there in the Truck Series race there. And I'm going to give another one to another guy that I've talked about in this very same race, Cody Roball. Finished 8th in the race last Friday night. He gets an EG3 honorable mention this week on the pod as well for his top 10 finish as well. So there's that. So Xfinity Series. Well, Austin Cindric pretty much made a statement after winning all those races last year and winning the championship. Makes a huge statement here. Gets out all the Daytona demons out of him, winning the race there, holding off Moffitt. You get an EG3 honorable mention of the week as well for that. So that's awesome there. And I'm going to give one more to a guy who made the playoffs last year in Brandon Brown. Brandon Brown, that 68 Chevy, he was in the top 10 for 80% of this race. Minus P's and Q's. Kyle got Michael McDowell. Minus P's and Q's, and nobody really talked about him. None of the commentators never really talked about him throughout the race there.
And he did a wonderful job. So, Brandon Brown, you get EG3 honorable mention of the week as well. And it's going to lead up to my EG3 helmet sticker of the week. And you guys should know who it is. But one more honorable mention on here, actually. it's a double EG3 honorable mention here. And this is going to be Ross Chastain and Chase Briscoe. Now, Chase Briscoe finished 19th and Chastain finished 7th. These guys were in the Xfinity Series last year. Now, move up to the Cup Series. Well, Chastain has been in the Cup Series for a couple years now, but with different teams, you will. But I'll mention why, because for a different reason. Because going through the drive-thru, Chase Briscoe was first to do it. He was at Panda Express and whatnot, getting food probably for himself. He didn't order for the team. So, but he gets honorable mention there, and Ross Chastain, EG3 honorable mention here, not only finishing the top 10, even with a wrecked up race car, but you bring the whole team, McDonald's, that's one of your sponsors, there, attaboy to Ross Chastain, doing it big in a drive-thru, EG3 honorable mention there, a week there, and last but not least, this should be hands down easy money this week. For the EG3 helmet sticker of the week, put a pin on it, Michael McDowell. And 390 plus starts, and you've been a tremendous ambassador for Front Row Motorsports, doing your duty. Good guy on the track, good guy off the track now. I mean, yes, last year had us run with Bubba Wallace in the All-Star race there. I was upset about that. But outside of that, we've had him on this podcast before. Couple years ago on his podcast, very good dude, Christian dude, a very down-to-earth guy, and very deserving of the win there, and I'm anxious to see what he and this race team do this week, knowing his road course background. He's got that team, Drew Blickensterfer, Clayton Hughes, those guys got it going on right now, so, but Michael McDowell's first Cup win in his career, Michael McDowell, you are the EG3 helmet sticker of the week.
Sports podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3 wide.